Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. We have a wonderful SEL program today, Social Emotional Learning. Okay, we're going to talk to Sunny Tadani, who is the CEO and co-founder of Robin, which is an award-winning SEL program for schools that also helps, obviously, community. All right, and Sonny's going to be with us. We're going to talk in detail about how he founded the company, what Robin does for students, how it works, et cetera, and how you can use it. So it's going to be a really, really nice show, and I'll tell you this several times during the show, but you can learn more at myrobin.com, and that's my-robin.com. It's a good product, and we'll talk in great detail on it. We're going to archive this show like we always do over at ace-ed.org. And that's our Consortium for Equity homepage, okay? ace-ed.org. Over there, you will find a link to our other website, which is SEL Today. That's Social Emotional Learning, obviously, seltoday.org. But you can link between the two sites. We have our new weekly newsletter now on site over at ace-ed.org. We just started that. All right. We have our magazine, which comes out bi-monthly. That's every other month. That's called Equity and Access. That's our online journal. You'll enjoy that. And, of course, every podcast we do. So we work a lot with SEL, a lot with equity, a lot with access, all over at ace-ed.org. And I do hope you go over there and see all the wonderful sponsors we have and see all the great information that we give you. Again, ace-ed.org. Sonny, good morning. It's Larry here.
Hey, Larry, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure, and I owe my new best friend, Sonny, an apology. I had originally scheduled the show for 10 a.m., forgot about that, and put it in for 10:30. You duly called in at 10 a.m. I wasn't there, so I want to apologize for that extra half hour of taking an extra half hour away from your life, and thank you for being here.
No problem. I appreciate the invite, and listen, if that's the worst thing that happened to us today, Larry, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Boy, you got that right. Isn't that the truth? I have to say, as Robin, this is so wonderful. Congratulations. Your company, again, my-robin.com, recently won the Superintendent's Choice Award for the Social Emotional Learning Solution of the Year over at the Institute for Educational Innovation, which is run by my good friend, he'll be on in a couple of weeks, Doug Roberts. Okay, and that's a big deal. All right, just talk about winning that award. How'd you feel about that? That's great.
Yeah, it was quite a shock, quite frankly, because we're a bit of a new player in town, and there's so many organizations, nonprofits, for-profits, small companies, large companies that do SEL so well. So it was, again, quite a shock, but working with and meeting Doug and some of the superintendents was just really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's good. Congratulations, my friend. That's really good. It's really saying something. And again, it's the Institute for Educational Innovation, all right? And Doug Roberts runs that. He's a good friend, and he'll be going. Yeah. So talk to me. What got you started? I know you have something to do, or at least you got involved with something after the horror at Sandy Hook. And I think that kind of got you started. Were you in education before that? Give us the rundown, Sonny.
Sure. Actually, my background is quite different. I was not in education. And as you said, I got inspired and motivated by one of the parents in Sandy Hook. I'm a young father myself. I'm 41. I have three young kids. I have a 6.5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank
I especially
you.
Thank you for being here if the nights of no sleep. So good man. Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate that. But but almost 6 years ago, I met Mark Barden, who's one of the founders of Sandy Hook. And this was recently after my daughter was born. She was a couple months old. And I met Mark, not knowing much about what happened there. You know, I read the news, I saw what happened. But Mark told me a story. How he lost his son that day. And again, as a father for 3 months, I couldn't imagine or leave understand.
Yeah, you can't
it.
Imagine.
And as I started learning more about that.
I still can't imagine that one. So glad.
Yeah, it's still hard. And this year, 2022, is actually the 10-year anniversary since that happened later this year.
Wow.
I've been lucky enough to work with them and volunteer and most importantly, understand that that organization, there's some gun policy, gun advocacy conversation, but they talk a lot about mental health, and the programs that they have instituted over the past decade are unbelievable around knowing the signs and saying hello. And I got inspired and I got motivated and I said, what can we do? What can I do as just a dad, right, for my own kids and as they grow up and maybe broadly speaking? And over the past couple of years, I started a company with some of my best friends in professional services about 11 years ago, and I was thinking about what my next step would be. And I've been really fortunate in my life. I've had challenges in my life. When I was in high school, my parents got divorced, and it was tough. It was tough on me and my brother. I didn't make any varsity sports. You know, I had some challenges in high school, we all do. But I was pretty lucky in the sense I had certain family members, friends, mentors, coaches, people in my life that when I was down, they picked me up. When I was excelling, they pushed me forward. And I think that's rare. And as I see the community around me, friends, kids, or cousins, or broadly speaking, teenagers today, it's really tough to be a teenager.
Yeah, it is.
I have no clue what it's
brutal
like.
Right now. Brutal.
It's brutal. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's pressure. It's social media. It's a variety of things. And I said, well, what are the outlets they have, right? And I learned, because I didn't come from education, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of focus groups. And I talked to students, administrators, and they told me, wow, the stats are out there, right? For every one student, for every one guidance counselor, there's 480 students. How is that possible, right? If I need support and I'm a high school student, do I have to wait in line or do I have to wait till next year to talk to that guidance counselor? And then I started to talking to these students and they said, yeah, if there's a bullying incident or a big fight, they bring in a speaker or they talk to us, and for 2 or 3 weeks, it's on everybody's mind. But really then it goes away and it's back to normal. There wasn't a lot of continuity and consistency in what I heard from students and educators. So as my friend and co-founder Scott Farber and I were discussing as we thought about Robin is, how do we bring continuity and consistency? How do we bring access to people, whether it's a coach, a conversation, and how do we do that with technology and without technology? And what I mean by without technology is I think we see this now with COVID, but that human connection, right, is missing. And yes, some people have parents to talk to or even a teacher, a buddy, but many people do not. So how about we give that support through a coach, through a real-life human being, now whether virtually over Zoom or inside the classroom, and how do we connect curriculum, content, technology, and real people? And that's why we've seen so much success early on, Larry, is we bring both a really fun, engaging technology platform coupled with the human connection of coaches. And we're so excited about some of the case studies and some of the opportunities over the past year, year and a half, and most importantly, the feedback from parents, from students, from teachers about our program.
Are parents using your product, Robin? Are they using it outside of school, or is it strictly run through schools?
You know, we started strictly through schools, and our first couple schools we worked, I live in New York City with my family, so we started in New York and New Jersey. I'm from North Jersey originally. And what happened was kids were going home and talking to their parents about, hey, actually, I learned about this word called resilience today, or hey, mom, do you know what mindfulness means? And parents started learning, oh, that's really interesting. And as you probably know, Larry, the pandemic and everything that has happened over the past couple of years, and frankly the past decade with our families and our kids, parents need support too. So we got a call from a head of a parents association, said, hey, I heard what you're doing in my son's middle school. Hey, do you guys do coaching for parents? And it's like that light bulb went off and said, in order for us to support our kids, teach our kids, and be there for our kids, we also have to be there for the adults in our community, parents and educators. I think about it's 2 years it's been, but I've been on one airplane ride. And remember the video comes down and said, you know, the oxygen mask falls, put it over your face first and then your kids. And it made me realize, wait a minute, in order to support we as parents or educators or adults in our kids' lives, we have to be supported as well. So we've started rolling out parent programs, educator programs, and as you might guess, it's been met with unbelievable open arms to say,
of course,
we would like to support, not necessarily to how to teach my students about SEL. We do those PD programs as well, but it's, hey, I'm going to be there for you through coaching sessions, through conversation, and that's really excited that now it's the school community. It's not just the students, but everybody in the students' lives.
Right. It's so good. How did you find the people? Who are the coaches? Okay. And who built the curriculum? Okay. You said before you weren't in education before. This is an educational process. All right. How'd you get that? And I congratulate you, Sonny, because most people like myself, you know, you hear about the horror of Sandy Hook. Okay. And you know, you're very concerned, and then you move on. But you saw a gap in there, and you were able to fill that. How'd you do that? That's really interesting.
Well, I appreciate that, Larry. And I think one of actually my strengths in that area is because I didn't come from education. I didn't have any preconceived notions or anything.
Right.
I went eyes wide open.
I love it.
My partner, Scott Farber, has been working in education for the past two decades. His first company that he started back in 2005, A-List Education, was about college access. And he came from that background of how do we get kids, again, it was through tutoring and supporting them. And then I surrounded myself with advisors, now full-time employees, coaches, with people that come from education. So those that wrote our curriculum and built our content, educators, former school counselors, former teachers, former directors of SEL at different school communities around the country. Our coaches come from all different walks of life. We have Dr. Ned Hallowell, our child psychologist, who came aboard as one of our first advisors to talk to us about why human connection is more powerful and more needed than ever. George Mumford was an early coach, friend, and advisor to us through a good luck and an email. We met George Mumford. George Mumford, I didn't know this at the time, is very well known in the world of mindfulness. He was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Phil Jackson's mindfulness guru.
He hasn't worked with anyone who's successful. Is that correct? just kidding.
Yeah,
love those guys.
He taught me this early on, and he was one of our first coaches to do some of our focus groups because we wanted to see how would this work with kids, right? So we got about, I don't know, 75 kids on a Zoom two summers ago. And we introduced George, and a lot of them didn't know who George was right off the bat. And he went through his, you know, conversation. He gives a little bit of history and why mindfulness is important. And then he shared a story, and the kids really perked up because they heard Kobe Bryant's name and Michael's name, and they said,
"Good old Kobe."
And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here for George, but he said those guys, they worked harder than anybody else in the gym. They also worked harder than anybody else outside of the gym. On their head, right? And those two guys, he said, more than any other athletes he worked with, they were completely in the moment and completely present. And guess what? It took them years to get to that point. And I think a lot of the students out there, you know, it's almost I was looking at their faces over Zoom, they're like, whoa, how do they do that? And I can do that? And he said, you're no different than Kobe and Michael in your head, right? You got to practice. And you know, these types of skill sets, what we're trying to do, we're not coming in. I mean, if students are having real challenges and they're really anxious and show signs of anxiety or depression, I hope they get the right medical help they can access.
Of course.
What we're trying to do at Robin is try to teach you that it's preventative, these skill sets around how to be mindful or resilient or how to make better decisions. Inevitably, when something comes up, hey, you didn't make varsity football, or God forbid your parents get divorced or a grandfather dies or something even worse that happens in your life, you have the necessary skill sets to deal with those situations. So a lot of our coaches, they're real life people. They're Naisha Williams, right, who's one of our most popular coaches, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, shares her story about how she was bullied, called different names, and how she found her confidence, her inner voice, through theater. And she doesn't tell kids and students to say, yes, you should go to theater. She says that's what gave me the confidence. That's what gave me the opportunity. And it's those stories like yours that students are like, wait a minute, you were once me and now you're here. It's possible to go through X, Y, and Z. So that's the sort of approach we took with the human connection. You don't have to be a celebrity or athlete. You actually are a regular person, and you can go through life's challenges and overcome them, and it's very possible. And to hear it from real-life people, I think is very motivating for young adults today.
I think it's incredible. And let me ask you this, Sonny. I'm a school district, okay? I call Robin, or I get in touch through your website, again, my-robin.com. Okay, what happens then? How does it work within a school? Do the kids come in virtually and meet with their coach as a group? Is it done in one particular class, or does the kid have access? Child kid have access whenever they need it. How does it actually work? The actual process.
Great question. Yeah, thank you. I think the most important thing first, when we hear from a website, from a friend, from a district that's looking to learn more about Robin, conversation with the school leaders. That could be a superintendent, a principal, a head of guidance, even the head of the student council. And we want to understand what's happening at their community. Because what I've learned in my short career in education, every school is different. Now, there are some themes happening with COVID and maturity and bullying these days that I see a lot. But every school community is different. Some schools actually have great people and great mentors for their students. Some schools have curriculum. Some schools don't. So we understand, number one, what's going on in your community and how can we support you? Because, you know, not one size fits all, right? Not one SEL program is right for every school out there. So number one, let's learn what's going on in their community. And then B, let's provide them with the right solution, whether it's a combination of our technology, our curriculum, or our coaching services. And then we go into the school. So some schools, frankly, it's the whole high school that we send the curriculum to. They log into our platform and they go through the different lessons and videos and audio files that are on there. And we set up, whether it's weekly, biweekly, or monthly, coaching sessions. So some schools say, you know, 11th graders getting ready for their SATs or 10th graders in the PSDs, a lot of anxiety comes and builds up. Let's work with them specifically to get them in the right headspace and understand that in order to do a great job in your SATs, you got to be mentally well first.
Yeah.
And there are things that we do to prepare schools for that. Freshmen, right, 8th grade to 9th grade, really tough transition year. A school here in New York City, we actually worked exclusively with their 9th graders, right? They missed their 8th grade. They're going to potentially a new school, new people, new environment. Let's work with them to work on that transition. So, again, there's not one particular way. But a lot of our schools that, again, have found a lot of success, they say, great, for the next year, let's have some consistency and continuity with our program. Let's have coaches go through a full session. I'm not naive enough to believe that you're going to hear a coach talk about resiliency and you're going to be resilient, right? It's going to take some time. We have a fun 30-day challenge on resiliency. So after a coach comes in and does a first session, we have this fun gamified 30-day challenge. Kids log on to this instance, and every day, 3 minutes, 5 minutes a day, you talk about what you did to be resilient. You watch a Robin video, a two-minute video on resiliency, and write something about it. And this habit-building exercise actually has kids really excited. And at the end of 30 days, we gamify it. We have a resiliency champion who gets a prize that we work with the school. Maybe it's a Visa gift card. Maybe it's no homework for a week or dinner with your favorite teacher. But we really want a community builder within it.
That's cute. When you say community, what are you talking about, Sonny? Do you mean the community of the school or literally the community that the school is in?
I mean starting with the school community, and that's with the principal, the educators, the guidance counselors, and the students. It's the 9th through 12 or middle and high school.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are starting to see is this group work what we do. So you ask how the coaching works. Well, we sit down with a class, a grade, a cohort, or maybe the school says, actually, there's the debate club or the basketball team just went through a major challenge or issue.
Yeah.
Can you just work with them? And so because we're not going to come in. I mean, we've done these big assemblies before and have a speaker and fire them up. But then what we like to do, and we have this assessment we use called the Connectedness Survey. It's a 20-question survey. It's been around for decades, and it really gets to the gets to a score to understand the connectedness level of the school. Our goal at Robin is to raise that score through our program, raise the level of connection student to student, student to teacher, student to their community. And part of our program, that's why I say the larger community over time, is we want to build these good
cities. I would hope so. And what grades? You've mentioned middle school. You've mentioned high school. Is Robin a program that you would suggest for middle school on, or is it for elementary as well?
So we service K through 12. When it comes to technology and certain coaching, high school and middle school, we have a focus on that right now.
I was just curious because you had mentioned that where that is, and I'm also curious, and you did kind of touch on this a minute ago, but within a school, as the ongoing process, all right, where is it used? I mean, is it, and I'll give you some hints what I'm thinking of. Is a guidance counselor take charge? Is it the homeroom? Is it the social studies teacher? The English language teacher? Where is it used? Where are you finding, where's the sweet spot within the school to make this all come together?
Yeah, you know, school counselors have championed this product across most schools that we work with. And frankly, a lot of administrators, principals, assistant principals, what they have done and done so effectively at some schools is really got buy-in early from teachers. Maybe it's a teacher that's really popular and influential with other teachers or educators in the building, but really understood the teachers that some teachers, and it's okay, you're there to teach math and focus on math, and that's okay, but you also have a resource in Robin. And you're able in your classroom, if you have a read on your classroom, because I don't know what's going on in that school and certainly don't know what's going on in that classroom, but the math teacher might. And they might feel, you know what, the students, they're a little burnt out, they're a little stressed. I'm going to work with the school counselor, and I'm going to go through a group lesson, from Robin. Because what we've done, and one of the key things I forgot to mention earlier, Larry, as we surveyed and did focus groups on the students, we did this with teachers. And what teachers, I heard a variety of answers. Some teachers were so into this, they said, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to implement this once a week. Some teachers said, you know what, I hear you, but that's not my job, and I don't really need it in my classroom. So what I heard is we need flexibility in our toolkit. We need the ability to have a 60-second audio to say, hey, let's get a breathing exercise, a mindful moment, an affirmation, or let's have a 45-minute lesson. And our toolkit provides all the above. So what schools have done so well, and our team working with those two teams, we have a customer success team that says, it's okay. You don't have to do a 45-minute lesson every Wednesday. You can if you want. And really, we tailor the program to that specific school. And I think schools have said, wow, you get me. You get my community. You get that I don't have time for X, or you get that I'm going to make time in advisory period. Right? A lot of schools are rolling out these advisory classes in middle school. We're seeing this commonly used.
That's right.
In the beginning of the day to set the tone for the day. And in elementary, some of the schools, throughout the day.
Yeah, you know what? I loved your example, I have to say this, of the math teacher, okay? Because I never did well in math when I was in school, all right? And one of the reasons was I had tried – it's not my cup of tea, and I would really have to work hard to understand the logic of it and all that sort of thing. That's me. But there's a lot of frustration with that. Okay, and math is one of the most stressful subjects kids have. We always say if they can't do eighth grade algebra, they're kind of screwed. Okay, and I using your program, okay, an SEL program in math class at the beginning to set the kids at ease, give them a sense of confidence, and give them a kid, yes, we're resilient. I can do this if I practice hard enough. You said practice before. That's what made Michael Jordan and Kobe stand out. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's the mindfulness. And if you can get that across in a math class, I'm just using this kind of as a personal example, you will have much better success with your students. They'll get it. All right?
Yeah,
and I loved when you jumped to math, because that could be for any subject. All right?
Sure.
Because the goal of a school is to make good citizens and to make critical thinkers. It's not to make them all into historians or writers or mathematicians. All right, but if we can build their confidence and their resiliency in each subject, Okay, that's really doing a good job as a teacher. So I'm glad you brought up the example of a math teacher. It's incredible. I have a silly question for you, but I want to ask you, Sonny, why is it called Robin? Where'd you come up with that name?
Sure. I don't think that's a silly question. It's actually one of the most common questions asked.
There you go.
Scott and I sat down. When we sat down and said, all right, we're building this out, I said, what do we want to call our company? And if you think about the name Robin, right, it means something different to everyone in a positive way. It could be a boy's name. It could be a girl's name. It could be with an I. It could be with a Y. It has a lot of variety, and it means different things to different people. If you think about Robin the bird, spring, uplifting, our tagline is together we soar. And so we started saying, wait, we wanted a name. We wanted something that was, you know, felt really good to the people out there. And Robin, I mean, Robin's a popular name out there.
It's a good name.
But it felt so right when we went out.
And that's a great example of why you named it that. Because when you hear Rob, like Robin Hood, he's one of the good guys. Okay, and Robin, the early bird catches the worm. Your spring announces when you see your first Robin. I think it's a great name. I was just curious why you did that. Two things I want to cover before we go. First of all, again, I want to say that the Institute for Educational Innovation, my-robin.com, won the Superintendent's Choice Award for the SEL Solution of the Year. This is obviously a very fine product. All right, and then B, and Sonny, talk about this, because this is the key thing. You guys just got more funding, and that's very important, because when people buy into a curriculum or a product, they want to know it's going to be around for a while, and they can depend on it. So talk about the new round of funding, just so people feel secure.
Yeah, absolutely, and we were really so excited about over the past couple months, and this past year, really, we saw so much early success that we went out to the community and said, guys, investors, here's what's happening, right? Here, within 2 months of rolling out our product, right, and as you know much better than I do, you've worked with seen a lot of different companies, worked probably for a lot of different operators in this space. It is tough to get schools to commit to pay for programs out there, right? And rightfully so. There's so many products, and there's so many products for free, and there's so many great products out there that are offered for free. Within 2 months of launching, right, officially, we got a principal to call us and say, guys, this is really good. And we gave it to him for free to pilot, right, to get feedback.
Nice.
He said, you should start paying for this. And we joked around with him, and then we said, great, why don't you be our first customer to write us a check? And the next day he did. And
good.
2 weeks later, another school and another school. And all of a sudden, a couple months in, we're like, this is starting to work, and it's working really well. We went out to the investor community, and we were lucky enough at that point to get a lot of interest and a lot of excitement from outside investors for many reasons. Yes, we had some early success, but I think you said it in the beginning, there is so much need, and it's coming from all walks of life, all types of people, school communities too, and most importantly, Larry, and I know you know this better than probably anybody, it's the students that want it. We got a kid reached out to info@myrobin.com to say, hey, guys, I'd like to introduce you to my principal because I think we have an issue. And just imagine a 16-year-old student reaching out. The market is there because the kids are asking for our support.
They do. They want it. The students recognize the chaos that is out there right now. I'll say it again, with the pandemics, with the crazy politics, all right, everybody's just going wacky on this, and we really need this. A school's role is to give kids the resilience, the confidence, the emotional support. Hold on 1 second, I got to clear my throat. To make this work, okay? And this is great, and it's timely, et cetera. Sonny, thanks for being here. And again, it's my-robin.com, everybody. Let's do more. Can I get in touch with you afterwards? Talk to you about what we're doing
here. Yeah, please.
I'm
going to
do it.
More. I'd love to support you and what you guys are doing, and appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
Well, we're going to support you, too, because what you're doing is very, very good and very, very important. It is so needed right now. So I congratulate you for being on top of this, and I will be in touch either later today or tomorrow. So, Sonny, thanks for being here today. It was great. Okay.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
A million.
Talk to you soon.
You're welcome, my friend. You take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That, everybody, was Sonny Thadani. Sonny, or maybe it's Thadani. I'm going to actually ask them how to pronounce that. Sonny Thadani. Okay. Sonny is the CEO and co-founder of my-robin.com, an SEL Solution of the Year Award winner. Okay, so check it out. It's a nice website, too. We need this stuff more than ever this year. It's crazy out there, and you all know that. And by the way, it's also good for the teachers as it is for the students. These are rough times right now, so let's be realistic about it. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, and I'll also archive it over at seltoday.org. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Please visit what we do over at the website, and thank you so much.